Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Read the Word. Now, as you can see, I got a big happy birthday 60 in the background. Looks like it's backwards, but anyways, who knows? And I want to welcome you to the first Read the Word of the year. This is actually January 12th. It's actually my birthday, but I want to remake this first video and say, welcome to 2023, and remind you that all year long, I've already got the videos already made, and we're going to read the word through chronologically. I'm going to do it myself, and I want you to come and do it with me. Now, last year, I got it all recorded, and that's quite a daunting task to make that happen every day, but we got it done, and you know, what's cool about it is in the middle of getting it done and making it all come to pass and happen, man, did we learn a lot last year reading through the word and doing it chronologically. It's like right now we're in the book of Job. If you follow day number 12 and read the word, we're in the book of Job. Job was the first book of the Bible that was actually written about 2,000 years before Jesus. And when you start reading this book, even though God rebuked Job's three friends, these men knew God. And in today's lesson, for the 12th, it tells you why. Now, let's read some verses here about getting Read the Word started. Because there's just some really good advice of how to read the Bible chronologically and what to do. Remember, there's never a better day than today to start reading the Bible. Do it today. There's no reason to wait. Now, you might say, Pastor, I have a hard time reading. Well, then I would encourage you. I'm not a fast reader, but open the Bible, click on these videos, and read out loud with me as I read. Now, of course, I'm going to stop and make a comment. You won't know what I'm saying there. But as I'm reading, read the words out loud, and you will find yourself reading more quickly and comprehending. You watch, it'll happen. Set aside a specific time each day. Set your schedule and then stick to it. David said early in the morning, will I rise up to meet you? But everybody's morning is a different time. And that's what the pandemic taught us, is that some people shine a whole lot better than 9 to 5. Number three, read the Bible for the sake of revelation, not simply to accomplish your next reading task. Say a prayer to God before you begin, asking the Holy Spirit to give you the spirit of wisdom and of knowledge and of revelation, and then be refreshed by the words you read. You find that in Ephesians chapter 3. Number four, Proverbs 4:22 says, the word of God is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Literally, reading God's holy word will produce health in your flesh. One more set of verses, and then we'll get started with Genesis chapter 1. Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another, you and me, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Jesus coming is any day. I know preachers have said it for years, but when you study this book, oh my goodness, there's not much left, and Jesus will be standing in a cloud saying, come up here. Our last set of verses is, you and I are the restraining force on this earth. The enemy cannot come. The Antichrist does not get to come until we're gone. And he doesn't manifest 666 until halfway through the tribulation. You find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, that he is capitalized, meaning Jesus. Well, Jesus is in heaven. So that means you and I, who are part of the groom, the body of Christ, he who now restrains will do so until he, the body of Christ, is taken out of the way. And then the lawless will be revealed. I encourage you, if you've never studied the book of Revelation with an excellent scholar, Dr. Hilton Sutton, anything you can find on YouTube of his about the book of Revelation and end time prophecy, get it. We're going to be doing it right here in a matter of the next couple of months. Shoot me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to get you connected to that teaching in Jesus' name. Well, 2023, my theme is, it's time to reap for me. That's what Jesus said. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. And those laborers are you and me reaching our friends, our family, our children, our community, where we are. And then we reap wages and gather fruit to eternal life. It's going to be a great year. It is going to be a great year. And in Jesus' name, may this be the year Jesus comes. Don't you miss it. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now you get a picture of that. And that picture is like the Holy Spirit is hovering over the earth. And that's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and me and anoints us to go do the work he gives us to do. Welcome those of you on YouTube live with me right now here on January 12th. It's good to have you with us. Make lots of comments over there in the live chat. That'll be a blessing to everybody. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, waters underneath and waters up above. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so, verse 8. God called the firmament heaven. Evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Dry land appeared. Aren't you glad God made us last? Adam would have been bouncing all over the world, water dumped on him, land popping up, trees. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Wainer, bless you, man. Verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, tree that yields according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Verse 13. Evening and the morning was the third day. Then God said, let there be lights. I want you to notice this. God called them lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. I want you to notice something. The day light he called sun. The moon light he called moon. The night light is the moon. The moon is a light. No matter what scientists have said, the moon is a light. Let that sink in for a minute. You got to read. You got to believe the Bible. It's written. 19. Evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth, cross the face of the firmament of the heavens. God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, verse 26, and according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. But watch, even creeps, you and I have dominion. 27, God created man in his own image. When you see God, we're going to look like him. Thessalonians says, when we see Jesus coming in the clouds, and that's not Thessalonians, that's 1 John chapter 3, we will know him because we will see him, and we will be just like him. We are made in his image. 28, God blessed them. God said to them, God's first commandment to man, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, have dominion of the fish and sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. Every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth. In which there is life, I've given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything he made. And indeed, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want you to notice, Adam and Eve were the last of his creation. Why? God made them a complete earth to have dominion over. There was nothing lacking. They had everything they needed. Everything they needed. And God is still the same today. No matter how much lack has tried to overpower the earth, it doesn't. God is the great provider. Chapter 2, we're going to find out why man was put on this earth. I know, John, isn't that pretty interesting? God called them lights. Therefore, they are light. Chapter 2, verse 1. The heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. What are we? Gardeners. That's what we are. All right? 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. Our DNA started in the mud. Isn't it something that when Jesus healed the blind man, he spit in the dirt, made mud, stuck it on his eyes, and said, go wash. Told the blind man to go wash. You notice that blind man didn't hesitate to go wash? God put that clay DNA on that man's mind, on that man's face, his eyes, and he could see. There's an amazing, amazing revelation there. I'm in verse number 8, Genesis 2:8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became 4 riverheads. Now remember, this book, the Bible, is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Peter, it says, holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God Almighty, through the Holy Spirit, inspired men to write and tell us how things are. That's why you can take this book and trust it from cover to cover. There are no inconsistencies in this book, no matter how many books somebody wrote that is titled The Inconsistencies of the Bible. Now, I know there's one out there that the guy wrote it that way to get people's attention so they'd buy his book. And then he said, there are none. And that's a clever way to do it, but this book matches from start to from cover to cover, start to finish, alpha to omega, beginning and end. Why? God made it. There's no inconsistency in God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can trust what you read and ask him to help you see the revelation. Here we go. Anybody remember where we are? The riverheads. I'm in verse 11. The name of the first is the Pishon. It's the one who skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Thank God for gold. Isn't this something God told us that? And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. Isn't it something that God's telling us about these precious stones that are there? 13, the name of the second river is Gihon. It's one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the river Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That is our place on this earth every day. Tend and keep the earth. That's our assignment to this day. God has never rescinded his assignment to us in Genesis 1. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. And then in the book, in Genesis chapter 9, it says, and replenish. That was what happened after the flood. Verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The Lord God said to man, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. If you ever wonder, men, why you have such a strong desire for a woman, it's because that's how God made you. So it's God. Now, the only problem some men or women have, why they say, I ain't never going to get married another day in my life. Well, the only reason that's there is because you don't understand what God made and why he made it and your place in it. So all you got to do is just read the Bible, study what God said, grow and develop, transform your mind, and you will love being a married person. Verse 19. Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought him to Adam so that he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. That's a lot of creatures. Adam gave names to the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man, and Adam said, whoa, man, look at here. All right. That's like a coddle paraphrase, but anyways. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, everybody pause for a second. My son just texted me, and I always got to text my son back. Hold on just a second. Now, think about what just happened. What just happened to Adam. God put him to sleep, took a rib, made a woman, and man's been eating ribs ever since, trying to get that rib back. I'll meet you at Famous Dave's right over there. Come and eat with me. Happy birthday. Happy New Year. Chapter 3. Wait, I want you to look at 25. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were unashamed. There's no shame in nakedness if you do it God's way at all. But don't go looking at other people's nakedness. That's not God. Not in any way. Some of you listening, get your stuff together. And if you're having trouble with it, wow, this is interesting. If you're fighting that pornography thing, call me. I can help you beat it. Now, this is in both men and women, young and old in the day we live. Here we go. Hold on, just like. That's too funny. Now, chapter 3. All right, here's where I get serious. The serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And God didn't say don't touch it. God said don't eat it. I personally believe they were supposed to touch it, take the tree, and go offer it to God. It's an offering like the tithe. You can have everything in the garden. That tree belongs to me. Bring it back to me and present it. That's the tithe. For the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Can you imagine what a fig leaf suit looks like? And who taught them to sew? They never had clothes. They were clothed in the glory of God. They didn't even know they were naked. They were clothed in his glory. And now they sinned. Adam sinned. Adam should have told Eve, bit that out of your mouth. Don't eat that. No, I'm not going to take that in my hand. He don't slap her. He just, no. No. God said no. So no it is. Anyways. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? He said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Pass the buck. Don't do it. Accept your own responsibility. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. The serpent did deceive her. And I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, and some of you put those things in your house and call them a pet. That ain't a pet. That's a wicked animal. Pastor, you can't call it wicked. Well, I just did. Those are killers. Anyways. And cursed more than all the animals. God's word. On your belly you shall go and eat the dust all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Because he is capitalized. Learn them, circle them, capital he's. That's God. Shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus been crushing the devil ever since the garden. That's why you and I take a rake, a shovel, or whatever else when we see one and chop the head off. 16. To the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Pain you'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife, have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You didn't realize when they said that in a funeral service that that's right where it came from, chapter 3 out of Genesis. God took dust, dirt, and made mud and created Adam. 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. For Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them, the first animal sacrifice for sin, right there in verse 21. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. He does. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now remember, in the garden, Jesus showed up. Jesus is the creator. John chapter 1 teaches us Jesus is the creator. And the first prophetic promise that Jesus would come and redeem man is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. Jesus is coming. All through the ages, men and women of God who actually believed in faith what God told them to do and went and did it, they crushed the enemy all through history. Jesus came, redeemed us from the life of sin by giving his life for us, paid the price, proving that a man, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, he laid it aside, that a man anointed by the Holy Spirit could walk with God. And therefore, making it possible for you and me. I always like to pray the prayer of salvation with you. So pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray it. Pray it all year long, every day. Why? Because the more you pray it, the more it'll get inside of you. And the next time when somebody's standing there and you need to help them find Jesus, you'll remember this prayer I pray. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you say, I know I need you in my life every day. You say, according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Say it. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life, all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand God's holy word, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Welcome to the family of God. You may say, Pastor, I can tell something's going on. What in the world I do? Well, get you a Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This one right here. I recommend the New King James Version. You don't have to get that, but that has such a powerful tool of referring you from one scripture to another all the way across the Bible so you can build your doctrines on the Word of God and not on the words of man. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, because it'll teach you who Jesus is and what the church looked like when it got started. Every time you see Jesus say, my Father, circle it, because he's telling you about your relationship with the Father. What just happened to you, because you put your hands out and said, Jesus, come into my life. He did. But Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit of God, he came to reside within you now. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, is on the inside of you. And he's walking in you every day. He's not way out there somewhere trying to get something through your thick skull. He's in here leading you from the inside out. The greatest thing you'll learn to hear is the voice of God. Read his word. You'll know what he sounds like because you know the truth and it sets you free. And then talk to God all day long like he's walking right beside you because he's actually living on the inside. I got all kinds of videos that'll teach this doctrine to you, show you how the Bible teaches us that we actually get to have a one-on-one relationship with our Father. It's the story of the prodigal sons. Both of them were prodigals, not just one. One went and wasted his possessions. The other one had a horrible attitude and wouldn't let the Father lead him. You read the story. God now lives inside of you, and he wants you to realize he's your Father every day. We're going to read this Bible now for 365 days. The background's going to change. You'll see that tomorrow. But just stick with it. I made this recording in 2022, and it's a great year. And this year, we're just going to go through it. If we got to remake some of them, we'll make them again. But I'm going to go through this myself and listen to myself read the Bible. If you think that's one of the toughest things you'll ever do, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not anything without his Holy Spirit being in me. Everything I am, he gave me. And that's how you and I will be all year long. We want you to be with us. Share this video with everybody, friends, neighbors, relatives, even your enemies. Tell them, listen to this man. You're going to enjoy it. Because we ain't got to do anything except read God's holy word and believe it. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, it's going to be a fun year. Here we go. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you tomorrow for Read the Word. God bless you.